This is KJZZ's Sun Up, your daily news update from Phoenix, the state, and the region. Good morning, I'm Bruce Drummond. Phil is back tomorrow. This podcast is a daily digest of the news events in Arizona as reported by the KJZZ news team. It's Thursday, December 18th. We're now barreling toward the weekend on this Friday eve, and let's check the news. Opposition from Republican state lawmakers has members of the Phoenix City Council concerned that a westward expansion of the light rail system is in jeopardy. From the politics desk, Wayne Schutzky reports.
Phoenix is considering expanding light rail service to the area around the state capitol before connecting to Interstate 10 to bring the public transit system to the West Valley. But a Phoenix Council subcommittee punted on a decision to move the project forward by declining to support any of the three potential routes. That came after Republican lawmakers, who could veto the project, sent letters to the city council saying they oppose any effort to bring light rail near the capitol. Councilwoman Deborah Stark chairs the subcommittee.
Well, I feel like the voters voted for it, and we should honor that. But my biggest fear is the legislature.
Phoenix voters originally backed the Capitol extension as part of a transportation plan passed in 2015, and if the council fails to approve a route, it risks missing out on hundreds of millions of federal dollars for the project. Wayne Schutzky, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
After months of discussion and public hearings, the Kyrene School District Governing Board has voted to close 4 elementary schools and 2 middle schools. From the Education Desk, Bridget Dowd reports.
District officials say Kyrene was built to serve about 20,000 students, but enrollment is expected to drop to 11,000 or 12,000 over the next 5 years, resulting in a projected $7 million funding loss. The district was considering closing up to 8 schools, but ended up choosing 6. Ahead of Tuesday's vote, Superintendent Laura Tenya said no matter what decision was made, the district would do its best to support its families.
Our current Kyrene kids will be our priority in all of our transition. This is about caring for people through change and making sure students and staff are supported every step of the way.
The approved plan will close 3 schools next school year and 3 others the year after. A full list is available at kjzz.org. Bridget Dowd, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
After months of community concern, the Flagstaff City Council voted to cancel its contract with Flock Safety and its automated license plate reader system. Many residents questioned if Flock Safety had reduced local crime since its 2024 installation. Ahead of the unanimous vote Tuesday, Police Chief Sean Connolly said he couldn't give a definitive answer.
We sit here today with a 12% reduction in violent crime and a reduction of almost 4% in property. I'm not attributing that solely to this technology, but it's one piece of the wheel.
Residents and council members raised data use, sharing, and privacy concerns. The Phoenix City Council has approved a roughly $90,000 payment to a motorist hit by a Phoenix police vehicle in April of 2021. The payout stems from a lawsuit against the city. The complaint says the motorist was driving westbound on Broadway Road near 83rd Avenue when a left-turning Phoenix police vehicle failed to yield. Court records say a jury found the city at fault for the collision after a trial. A new women's health hub will be among the first projects developed in Mesa's new Palo District. As Greg Haney reports, the city designated the former Fiesta Mall site as a theme park district last month.
The project includes a women's sports center that developers say will support research, training, and community recreation tailored to women and girls. Vicky Mayo is CEO of Sunny Day Sports, the company behind the Palo District. She says it will be a first-of-its-kind hub to help fill in the gaps of supporting women's health.
We're very excited to be able to bring that sports medicine lens along with all the different types of modalities and different areas such as behavioral health and hormonal therapy and menopause.
Mayo says the 200,000 square foot center will be the cornerstone of the redevelopment of the Fiesta Mall area, which will eventually include restaurants, residential, office, and medical facilities. Construction is expected to begin by the middle of next year. Greg Haney, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
The former chief of staff for Navajo Nation President Boo Nigrin says he's been served an ethics complaint at his Flagstaff home. Patrick Sandoval first learned about it over the weekend through a news release from the tribe's council on social media.
They taped the notice on my door late Monday afternoon. They seem to be a little disorganized. They're going to kind of throw, you know, things at the wall and see what sticks and what doesn't. But they've contacted nobody. There's no interviews or no nothing. And it's one-sided.
A special prosecutor accuses Sandoval of soliciting and accepting gifts and loans of more than $10,000 for himself and Nygren. Those came from Innovative Electric, a New Mexico company seeking payment in excess of $500,000 from the Navajo Nation's executive branch. A furniture contract for a controversial Mesa transitional housing project has been put on hold after the Mesa City Council decided to vote on it next year. Kathy Ritchie has more.
2 years ago, the city of Mesa purchased the Grand Hotel, now called Sun Air, with the intention of turning it into transitional housing for unhoused individuals. The furniture contract was originally scheduled for the November 3rd City Council meeting, then moved to November 17th. That date also coincided with Republican Councilmember Dorian Taylor's first council meeting. Taylor won a recall election earlier that month, driven in part because of Sun Air. A spokesperson told KJZZ that staff recommended continuing the furniture contract to give Taylor time to become familiar with the project. Kathy Ritchie, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Pima County supervisors took a final step to advance an agreement between the county and Beal Infrastructure, the developer behind the controversial data center known as Project Blue. From the Fronteras desk in Tucson, Elisa Resnick reports.
The data center would be housed on a roughly 290-acre stretch of Pima County land on Tucson's southeast side. The agreement before the county board this week outlined Beal Infrastructure's commitments and stated benefits the data center would bring to the community. But Supervisor Andres Cano argued Project Blue was being pushed through without guardrails in place to protect public health and resources.
We cannot rush deals like this for short-term gains because the costs do not stay short-term. They linger in our bodies, in our neighborhoods, and in our public trust.
Cano was one of two supervisors who have consistently voted against Project Blue. Supervisor Rex Scott, who has supported the project, argued residents would be protected from increased utility costs.
What this memorandum of agreement provides is a path forward for ensuring that Beal's commitment to match 100% of its energy consumption with renewable energy is met.
Supervisors voted 3-2 to pass the agreement. Elisa Resnick, KJZZ News, Tucson.
Arizona lawmakers passed legislation to establish independent oversight of state prisons last session. Now they want to fund it. From the politics team, Cameron Sanchez reports.
Republican Senator Shauna Bullock and Representative Walt Blackmun are sponsoring bills in the state legislature which would fund the new Independent Correctional Oversight Office. They want to grant $1.5 million to the project. Blackmun and Bullock blamed Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs for not ensuring the oversight office got funded last session. The original bipartisan oversight legislation was prompted by an uptick in inmate murders and assaults, including a triple homicide at a Tucson facility in April. Cameron Sanchez, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Arizona State University has launched a new initiative to help students who started their higher education at ASU but didn't finish their degree to return to school. Here's Bridget Dowd once more.
It's called Operation Comeback, and it allows those who previously attended ASU to finish what they started. The university has set aside money to help former students with past due balances. In some cases, those may be reset to $0. Additionally, any Arizona resident who is not currently enrolled at ASU and returns in 2026 will get a $100 per credit scholarship for campus-based programs or a $120 per credit scholarship for online degree programs. Students will also be matched with a reentry specialist who will provide one-on-one advising. ASU estimates about 500 former students will immediately qualify. Bridget Dowd, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Arizona's 520 area code was expected to be retired in 2027 when the Arizona Corporation Commission estimated it would exhaust all phone numbers under the three-digit code. But the commission says utility staff have been able to preserve it for a bit longer by weeding out organizations using 520 for robocalls or spam. Once all 520 area code numbers are used up, officials will issue a new area code for Southern Arizona. In sports, college basketball, a hot night of three-point shooting helped UCLA down the Sun Devil men last night in Los Angeles 90-77. Donovan Dent and Sky Clark combined for 15 threes in the Bruins' win. ASU trailed most of the game. They cut the lead to 5 points late in the game but couldn't get any closer, and that loss drops the Devils' record to 9-3 on the year. In the pros, the Suns are back in action tonight as they host the Golden State Warriors. At 14-12 on the season, Phoenix is hoping to snap a two-game losing streak. And that's it for this version of KJZZ's SUNUP, Arizona's morning news podcast for Thursday, December 18th. I'm Bruce Drummond. Phil returns tomorrow. Thanks for your company these last few days, and enjoy the day.